Hello and welcome to Super Together. I'm James Cochran, and it is a special Tuesday episode, special in part because I am all on my own. After coming through a holiday week, couldn't get schedules to line up in a way that brought somebody else to join me today. So today, I am going to chat with you just a little bit about anxiety management. And what we mean by that primarily is your body, as a response to threats that it perceives in the environment, is going to increase the production of certain hormones and neurochemicals that are going to make you breathe faster. They're going to make your heart beat faster. They're going to make you feel sweaty. They're going to make your gut start to freak out. And you are going to start to feel unwell. And as a function of that feeling unwell, you will not be as readily able to focus on the things that matter most to you. And in sort of chronic or really severe acute cases, it can really have an impact on your functioning. We are in a season right now that is chock full of threats. Things that when we perceive them, our body starts to say, oh wait, you are in danger. So I'm going to give you the danger juice and you're going to start to freak out, so that you can run away, or you can fight, or you can freeze in place long enough that you won't be under any direct threat. Now, the challenge is that might have been really valuable maybe 100,000 years ago. It isn't as valuable today because the threats that we perceive, one, are far less immediate than we imagine, and often they're far less real than we imagine. So it's helpful. The reason why therapists exist, the reason why mental health is a field, we want to help people find ways to navigate their experience so that anxiety is not as dominant of a factor in guiding their decision-making, in making them feel overwhelmed, in keeping them from living the life that they want to live. I put together just a handful of things. Now, this, none of these are original ideas. I'm not taking any credit for it. These are sort of tried and true, empirically validated ideas that can help you manage your anxiety when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel stressed, when you feel like you cannot find a way out from under all the threats that you're experiencing. Consider trying to apply one of these ideas. So I came up with this acronym DANCE, D-A-N-C-E. And the first, the D stands for deep breaths. You'll hear this all the time. Take a deep breath. And it's become more popular as things like mindfulness and meditation have sort of made their way into the cultural consciousness in the West. And the good news is that there's actually some really strong evidence to support its efficacy. When you are just moving through your life, you're probably breathing to about one third of your full lung capacity. Now, that means that your brain's not getting as much oxygen as it needs. That's sort of like a default space, not a space that is guided by intentionality, but just your daily moving around. And when you decide to apply intentionality to your breathing, you actually start to inform the anxiety centers in your brain that, hey, everything's okay. So if you see something that makes you anxious, as I mentioned, those stress chemicals are going to start to be released in your body. You're going to start to breathe faster, and your breathing is going to be a little bit more shallow. It's going to be the kind of breathing that you would do if you were getting ready to run a race. Again, that's an evolutionary adaptation, and there's a lot of value to it. But what you want to be considering is that this might not be a situation in which that evolutionary adaptation is very helpful to you. So by taking a deep breath, what you're doing is you're telling your brain, hey, actually, it's okay. I've done some further assessment of the situation, and I don't need to be ready to run away or panic. So the easiest method to do some deep breathing, to apply some intentionality toward it, is called the four-sided breath, the square breath. You breathe in for 4 seconds, you hold for 4 seconds, you breathe out for 4 seconds, and then you hold for 4 seconds. There's countless variations of this, and I'm not trying to say any one is better than the other, but this one is a really easy one to remember. Now, if you do that cycle for 4 times, it'll take about a minute. So it's not a hard thing to remember. 4 times, that takes about a minute, and it allows you to engage your breath a little bit more thoughtfully and carefully. So, number one, deep breaths. 2, the A in dance is avoid rumination. Rumination comes from the way we think about ruminant animals. Ruminants are things like cows, I think sheep, a lot of domesticated livestock, and they have multiple chambers as a part of their digestive system. And what they do when they eat something, things that are not easily digested, things like grass, for example, is they'll swallow it, and then they'll regurgitate it into the rumen, and then the rumen allows it to sort of reprocess, and then they continue to digest it from there. So a cow chewing on its cud, that's rumination. And in our experience as human beings, we do this cognitively. So you have an experience that is anxiety-provoking for you in some way. Maybe a family member wanted to do a Zoom call and you had just had it up to here with Zoom, so you said no, and now you're wondering, did I hurt their feelings? Did I upset them? And you spend a lot of time thinking about that. So this is a natural process. Again, as an evolutionary adaptation, we wanted to avoid anything that would put us in the sort of social outgroup. So we want to please other people. We want to minimize those experiences. So ruminating on those experiences in a way that's unpleasant is ultimately something that will keep us from doing things like that in the future. But I want to reiterate, we want to challenge the degree to which that's actually effective. So what we do is make a decision to stop ruminating that will be preceded by some awareness that we're ruminating. So it's important to check in with ourselves regularly, especially when we're not feeling well. Ask yourself the question, am I ruminating about anything in particular? Is there something that I'm just turning over in my head again and again? Most research supports the idea that we won't find ways to develop new insights within about 5 to 10 minutes of ruminating on something. So if you're within that first 5 to 10 minutes, by all means, continue to process it, identify whether there's going to be something you could have done differently, whether there's a different way you can approach it in the future. But beyond about 5 to 10 minutes, you're really not going to find some new valuable insight that's going to allow you to approach the situation differently. So some helpful tools are find something to distract you, start a Sudoku puzzle, call a friend that's going to be helpful in bringing you, taking you away from that rumination. Write your ideas down. That way you can, if the thought comes up in your head again, you can just say, oh yeah, well, I'll just return to that a little bit later. Ultimately, what we have to recognize is that rumination, it feeds into a narrative that is not usually productive for us. And if we can engage that pattern differently by becoming aware of it, making a decision to stop it, and then redirecting our attention, we'll usually be better served by that. So we've got deep breaths, avoid rumination, and then the N is never say never. Realize that's an ironic, self-contradictory statement. But the idea is we want to avoid sort of black and white, all or nothing, never, always, that very extreme kinds of thinking. When we engage the world with expectations that allow for that little flexibility, we will usually find ourselves distressed. If we say to ourselves, I can't miss a day of working out. I shouldn't miss working out. I should never not work out. You know, again, if we think about it in those extreme terms, well, then what happens when life is imperfect, as it often is, and we do miss a day of working out? Well, now it's almost like we've allowed an allergen to enter our bodies. We're allergic to the idea of not working out. And so we start to have a stress response to that when that routine is disrupted. So when you hear yourself using words like always, never, can't, shouldn't, should, must, try to challenge those words and say, okay, maybe I have a strong preference. Maybe I can I understand that it's really important for me to work out. But those types of extreme cognitive rules are going to make it harder for us to feel okay. So avoid those types of terminology. So the C in dance is curate media. Now, what this has to do is we have some control over the types of things that enter our brain through our eyeballs and ears, and we want to be paying attention to the fact that that affects us. Something that you can try the next time you're reading the news, scrolling through Facebook, watching a TV show or anything like that, is set a timer when you start for about 5 minutes. And then after 5 minutes, ask yourself how you feel. Do you feel better? Do you feel encouraged? Do you feel like you are ready to take on the world? Or do you feel more anxious? Do you feel distressed? Do you feel like you're uncertain and afraid, not sure what to do next? And then use that information to start guiding your experiences. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to just find media that's encouraging and thought-provoking and is going to make you into your best self. You maybe need to consume media that might be more anxiety-provoking. But do it with more intentionality. So that's why we curate that kind of media. See, if you can limit your use of that type of information to something that's going to be more manageable. And in the recognition that it's not always going to be something that makes you feel better, don't just go to it by default. Again, most of our devices, most of our phones and apps, they're designed not for your best interest. They're designed for the best interest of the companies that produce them. So they're going to be drawing you in whether or not it is in your best interest to be drawn in. So ask yourself, say, hey, the last time I used this particular social media app, I noticed that I didn't really feel good after I was done using it. So is now a good time to be using that, or should I set that aside to another time? Be thoughtful and intentional about how you do that. So the last one is E for engage others. This is where social dynamics come into this. We're social creatures. We evolved in social contexts. And a lot of the time, our anxiety is something that we don't fully appreciate how distorted it is from reality, because it just plays in our own head. And sometimes we're afraid to share our anxiety experiences with other people. We don't want them to judge us. We don't want them to think we're crazy. But find someone that you trust, someone that you care about, and someone that you know cares about you, and allow them to be a sounding board for you. Just go to them and say, hey, I'm anxious about this. Should I be anxious about this? Now, you want to be careful and paying attention to which anxieties you bring to which people. You know, if you've got somebody that is just, for example, can't stop talking about a particular conspiracy theory or can't stop talking about this particular idea that they're worried about, you might not want to bring your worries about that thing to them, because they're going to be biased in a particular direction. So be thoughtful, be intentional, but find ways to engage other people and let them know. It's like, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me think about whether I'm approaching this in the right way? And what I often find is that when we find people in our lives who can be those people for us, it helps us manage our anxiety. So we'll go through it again. Dance. Deep breaths. Avoid rumination. Never say never. Curate media and engage others. There can be a lot more to managing anxiety than five simple ideas that we can roll into an acronym. And that is fine. What I want you to pay attention to is that there are a lot of things that do exist within your control that you can do to manage your anxiety in this space. So hopefully this is something you find helpful. Ginger and I will be returning on Friday. Thank you for joining us for our special Tuesday episode of Super Together. And that will be all that I have for you. So be well.